Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. Driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick. Tony Baselli is on a cruise ship right now. Jeff Loggeman is somewhere. I think he was in Costa Rica, probably killing animals. So John Osier is with us tonight, Jaguars.com senior writer.
Well, you talk about a letdown. It's Tony Baselli and Jeff Loggeman, except it's not.
That's okay. Sorry we didn't have an open for you, John. We got to work on that, man.
It's not so much the open, it's the lack of substance the rest of the way, I guess, is what is going to bother people. But
we'll start strong.
Let's see how we do.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to some calls coming up. Plenty to talk about. The pro day season winding down a bit. All these mock drafts are out there. A couple of guys, you know, really are the two main narrowed to the Jags a lot of places. We'll recap the FSU pro day. You were over there. Commissioner Goodell's going to be in town tomorrow.
That's what I hear. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor, and we'll look around the National Football League as well. We might have a special guest as well.
Fantastic.
We'll hold that.
It's already out there on Twitter.
It's good. Not anymore. Not anymore.
All right.
It was taken back.
All right, well.
So here we are.
Twit.
I feel like I never talked to you anymore, John. I feel like we're never on any shows or anything together.
No, we're not. And that's, that's how it is. You know, it's the off season. It's time for us to go our separate ways for a little while. So
I think it's been like 24 hours.
About that.
Almost,
yes.
Yeah. So. All right, let's get to it. You know, we talk about this on Jaguars.com Live all the time. Do you go pass rusher? Do you go DB after seeing Ramsey this week? Does that skew your thought about it at five if for some reason Ramsey's there at five and you got all these options?
Human nature is that it does skew your thought because when you see him in person, it's impossible not to be impressed.
That's Ramsey, you mean?
Yeah, he's athletic. He's everything you want in a safety. He can play corner. And then knowing that he's a good player and knowing that the NFL likes him in multiple positions and that most GMs consider him a player who is going to be good, then you look at him work out the way he did in Tallahassee on Tuesday and – you can't help but kind of walk away and think, oh, I got something here. I know about this guy. He's good. You know, I mean, that's the general – he's impressive in that environment. Is he the right guy for this – or is he the best guy for this situation right now? It's hard to argue against it because you can bring him in if you need – and the thought is now that you've signed to Sean Gibson – is it Jalen Ramsey who played cornerback for you, at least for the first couple of years. And that's fine because you've got Prince Amukamara who can be the starter at first. You don't have to put him into lineup if for some reason he wouldn't be ready.
It's a one-year deal for Prince too.
Right, and then as time goes on, you can put him into that lineup. And you're not losing very much over the long haul if you play Jalen Ramsey at corner to start off with. And then – you also have depth. If Deshaun Gibson would be hurt, you've got a guy who can obviously go play free safety. Now, he would need a little time to practice that. Practice does matter in the NFL in terms of preparation, but it gives you options. And now, all of a sudden, for the first time in a long time, we're talking about the Jaguars being able to draft a guy and not be absolutely desperate if you don't get that guy. And that's a good thing.
Can the guy catch? Jalen Ramsey?
I don't care.
You don't know?
I mean, I'm not – it's great if your defensive backs can catch, but you don't draft based on that. If he's an impact guy, if he is a guy who breaks up passes, if he makes plays above the X's and O's, if he's a good tackler, if he's there, then that's fine.
Well, the rest will come, I guess, at that point.
I don't know if it'll come or not, but if you're breaking up plays back there – that's the first step. To me, interceptions are a bonus back there. For a free safety, you'd really like it. For a cornerback, you really like it. But I just don't factor them into the equation of whether I'm drafting a guy. That's not the thing that makes you draft a player in the secondary. It's pass breaks up. It's pass breakups. It's being good enough to dissuade the opponent from going after you is more important than being able to intercept when it comes your way.
A lot of these mocks, Johnny, have Miles Jack at 5.
Sure.
It's not a bad pick either, right? I mean,
right.
The guy can fly.
He's fat. He's the argument for Miles Jack.
We didn't see him in person, obviously. But
I didn't see him in person, but everything you see on any sort of video, he's another one of the guys who jumps out. And the argument for Miles Jack, as with both of these guys, neither one of these guys play a position where you would historically think that they are going to be considered as highly as they're being considered.
Mm-hmm.
You hear Jalen Ramsey might be number one. You hear,
which is incredible, by the way.
It hadn't happened ever for a true corner. It happened in 1956 when the game was a lot different. And Miles Jack, you're hearing at 3 or 4. This is a linebacker in an era where linebackers don't go that high. But when you are a talent that is a game-changing, franchise-changing talent, then all of a sudden the norm for the position goes out the window. Miles Jack, if he was an ordinary first-round linebacker, you'd think he's a 15-20. But if he's Luke Kuechly, if he's Ray Lewis-type impact, then it doesn't matter that he doesn't fit a position that would normally be drafted that high. And everything you see is that he might be that guy. So the argument comes down to, is it an absolute need position like edge rusher is around here? Yeah. Probably not. But don't take the edge rusher just to take him and avoid taking a guy who can change your franchise.
And the idea of moving Scooter over a little more to rush on the line, that opens up some time at that position, right? At the linebacker spot.
It could. I don't know that the moving of Scooter is going to be enough to make you change how you're going to draft.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And Dave Caldwell may feel differently, but, you know, if they're talking about using Scooter in a few packages, a few pass rush situations a game, I don't know that they're going to be moving him enough to say, oh, my goodness, we have to draft a guy to play that spot. But I think, once again, they're in a good situation they haven't been in for a long time, in that no matter who they draft in the first round, they have a legitimate starting viable NFL option to start everywhere on defense.
That's true.
No matter who they draft. And then whoever they draft, if he comes in and starts, so much the better, because he's beaten out a good player who can line up. And for the last 2 or 3 years, that hasn't always been the case.
Mm. Yeah, that's a nice feeling, right? Nice feeling to have.
It's a better feeling than the alternative. I mean, it's a whole lot better than having to play Ace Sanders as a rookie when you knew he wasn't really ready, or than having to play a third-round rookie when they were playing Josh Evans a few years back at safety.
Yeah. Playing late-round cornerbacks.
Right,
I mean, seventh-round guys, you know?
That's not what you want to do.
Not at all. That's not a successful defense. J.P. Shattuck, John Oser, Jaguars Thursday. We'll get to some phone calls coming up. Pro Day season winding down. I don't know if you saw the video. I think Mike Kay over at First Coast News put it out from the Miami Pro Day the other day.
I didn't.
Pouring rain.
I heard it was rainy.
Outside.
Yeah.
On the field. Obviously, they don't have an indoor facility.
Like we're in the radio studio.
Yeah. It's a good point, actually. Might be in here a little bit later. This thing's winding out. There's no real huge pro days left. What's left?
You know? Notre Dame was today.
Right.
Quarterback from Memphis throws next week.
Okay.
And I'm completely drawing a blank, but I know he throws next week. That's pretty much it. So it usually ends around the end of March, and that's when it's doing. So as of next month, they start going on their visits when they start showing up around stadiums.
That's always interesting, man, to see how that works, because they go from team to team, and some owners are involved, some aren't, depending on the team, and who's some teams have them all in at one time for 2 days. And
this team does that. Yeah. The Jaguars are a little unusual on that front. A lot of teams sort of bring them in all month and keep it very secretive. The Jaguars bring them in over a 2-day period, usually with the idea of let's get them in. If the coaches are going to be distracted by this from their normal work, let's just have it over a 2-day period rather than over a 21-day period. It's it's very good for the teams involved to get some more information on guys. It's not really a very good tool to use if you're trying to figure out who the teams are going to draft, because it's not all these pre-draft so-and-so met with this guy at the combine. Right. So-and-so met
They meet with everybody.
He's got personal workouts, all this stuff. At some point, they've met with everybody, or they have enough information that they're just not really very good indicators of who they're going to take, particularly in the first round.
Is it almost too much? Like, why have all these? I mean, I know you're trying to get more info on guys, but if you're not going to draft a guy, then why even waste the time?
Well, they want to gather information for down the road.
Just in case,
four or five years, they want to have files on these guys. And you want to make sure that you know just as much about a player you draft. You want to know just as much about a player you don't draft, because you want to be able to know why you didn't draft a guy. And that's their job. So, you know, you can say it's overkill, you can say it's too much, but there's a lot of people involved trying to scout a lot of players, and they're making a lot of money, so they should do the whole thing and be thorough.
Let's get to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Chris on the west side will start it off tonight. What's up?
Hey, guys. This may be old news, but this is the first chance I get to broach the subject. Gus Bradley announced at the Combine, I believe, Marquise Lee will be an outside receiver. This is not the first time this kind of thing has been announced, but it confuses me because I considered him to have a skill set of a slot receiver, excelling at these crossing routes. I am wondering aloud why they are putting him at an outside receiver. Specifically, I'm wondering if it's to simplify the playbook for him, and if so, I don't consider that a good look for him. What do you guys think?
Thanks for the call.
No, it's not simplifying the playbook.
I don't remember a full announcement, by the way. It's in a press
release. Yeah, Gus didn't say that. I believe Dave said at the combine that that's where they would play him, because they believe he's an outside receiver and can stretch the field and is a big play guy in that capacity, and that he's not really as comfortable on the inside in terms of performance as he is on the outside. Hmm. So
it's not a knock on Hearns, is it?
No, it's a positive on
absolutely.
Hearns, because Hearns can go inside.
And
they also feel like you can move Hearns inside. He's done it. He can play well inside, and that if they're going to play those three, then the best package is with Hearns and Robinson. I mean, Marquise Lee and Robinson on the outside, and Hearns moving inside into the slot when they have those three guys on the field.
And then you got Rashad Green out there, from time to time
in the slot.
In the slot,
yeah, he would
sure.
be in the slot. But no, I don't think it's a matter. I mean, I can understand why you would think Marquise's skill set fits in there. He is quick, but it's his straight ahead raw speed that could really make him special, and I think they want to get that on the outside. And they just believe he's an outside receiver.
Just because you hadn't seen it a lot doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You got to go see it, right?
Right.
I mean, he hadn't been on the field.
Yeah, and I think that's an absolute priority, is figuring out a way to get him involved in the offense. And it seems like, from listening to Dave and Gus in the times they've been available, that it's a real priority. Let's see if this guy can be healthy throughout the offseason and be involved in the offense, and we can figure out a way to use him. Let's get that talent on the field, because it's still the most dynamic playmaker on offense that you have.
It's interesting. You know, we talked about this.
And it's really not close.
No, I agree with that. This is the first, you know, first call we have tonight is about offense. I mean, it's almost a forgotten, not forgotten, but it's kind of under the cover this offseason, because it's all defense, build defense, draft defense, free agency defense, all this defense. Well, the offense still has work to do too, John.
Well, it has work to do, and there's a couple thoughts on the offense. First, there is a lot of work to do, because as good as it was, as many explosive plays as it had last year, it was more of an explosion offense and a big play offense that it was an efficient, effective offense. And that's fantastic, because it hadn't been either before. And having the explosion is terrific. If you're going forward, you want guys in this league who can make big plays, who can make things happen, because there's a lot of offenses that don't do it. But you also have to get better on shorter, efficient situations in the passing game, in the running game. there were too many times late last season, I think of the Colts game out here and the Falcons game here, mm-hmm. where they just went too long of stretches without getting first downs, without being able to put drives together. So that's the next step for this offense. That's the next step for Bortles, really, is becoming a better player in that situation. And it's why they're focusing on the running game and the interior of the line. They want to set that up a little bit. But the good news on that
okay,
is,
we need some good news, John.
And the good news on the offense as a whole is, think about how much talent and potential production is there that wasn't even close to maxed out last year.
Yeah.
I don't want to say A-Rob is maxed out, but it wouldn't be a disappointing year if he doesn't match his numbers from last year. He put up some phenomenal numbers that will be hard to match.
Especially if you get other guys involved in this offense.
Right.
More, right? Marquise and the running game and all that, right?
Marquise, Julius Thomas, yep. T.J. Yeldon, Ivory. You've got a lot of guys on here who didn't – Ivory wasn't here last year, but the other guys – who didn't even come close to maxing out what they might be. If the running game is more productive, if Marquise Lee is on the field, if Julius Thomas is involved more, as good as the offense was, and it was a lot better, there is a long way to go, but it has the potential to make that journey, if you will.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. The commissioner's coming to town. We'll preview his visit after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier is in for Lagerman and Baselli tonight.
For both of them.
Johnny O, yeah.
It's I would say that it was a big seat to fill, but Baselli's like a rail.
not as big of a seat to fill.
That joke's
anymore.
Not that funny anymore. Wasn't that funny to begin with. But
I wonder, he's on a cruise ship right now.
Yeah, that's a...
Even with the weight loss, that's a scary proposition,
well, it's,
right?
You know, there was a time when it would be an issue if there was enough food.
That's true. Now the buffet is safe. You're right.
You know, because you're out there on the high seas, I assume there's a transportation issue if you run out of food.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck, right? So. Yeah. By the way, we mentioned before the break, Commissioner Goodell is scheduled to be in town
right?
tomorrow. The NFL is the inaugural recipient of the Jack Sports Medicine Program Leaders in Sports Health, Safety, and Research Award. It will be handed out tomorrow, and Commissioner Goodell will accept the award on behalf of the NFL. It's due to the program, the Jacksonville University, Jack Sports Medicine, the Jaguars. Project 17 is the name of that project. Remember last year, the goal was to have 17 trainers, one in each of 17 Duval County schools by 2020. There are five in place right now. Two more, we're hearing, are going to be announced tomorrow. So they're well on their way to reaching that goal. That's why the commissioner will be in town. I'm sure he'll get a tour of the construction and all the stuff while he's here, too. So always big when the commissioner's in, right?
Yeah, it's a lot to see. And very soon, you know, I'm sure they'll show him the plans for the outside, you know, for off the amphitheater and the indoor practice facility. So, yeah, it's a good time for him to be here. And I'm trying to remember the last time he was here. He's been here since Shad took over.
I think it was he's here for a Thursday night game at one point.
But certainly not. I don't think to see the extent of the renovations and the progress made. And that's significant because if you're not here and don't see it, it's easy to look past all that Shad has done.
No doubt. And it's not the only place happening, of course. I mean, LA is putting in a huge facility. We know about that. Some other places are. You got to kind of keep up with the Joneses, right? Atlanta's getting a new stadium downtown. Tampa is upgrading their video capabilities, I think, this year. Miami, they've upgraded their facility. It's a war, right? You gotta keep up with the Joneses.
And the thing that's really marked Shad's ownership is there have been very few, I think maybe only one off season where there hasn't been a major upgrade. And I think that's, you know, speaks to his vision and commitment and drive to get this thing done.
Let's go back to the phone lines. You know what? We'll get to that in a moment. We were talking.
You just blowing off the collar.
Yeah, we'll get to him in just a minute.
It's your show. You'll decide the direction.
It is our show, John. We were talking about the pass rush defense situation during the break, you and I. And, you know, the Jags didn't go pass rusher in free agency. They tried a couple of names, obviously, widely publicized, and didn't bring any home. So there's all these questions now about why don't you go chase this guy, or why don't you go chase that guy and this guy? Well, why don't you?
Well, the first thing is I don't think there's any way they won't go after edge rusher in one of the first two rounds. I mean, it's clear that at the minimum, Dave Caldwell believes there is depth needed there at some point, and at this point, probably the best way to do is through the draft.
Yeah, so a young rookie depth guy is better than an old depth guy, right? Older.
Yeah, if they believe he's the right guy.
If it comes
to that. But the reason that you don't see the Jaguars go after guys when they're out there is because they don't think they're very good.
And they're not being a good football
They
player.
Don't think that they
The reason are, he's on the street.
And it's a snide way of answering it, but they don't believe that they're better than what's here. And I get questions all the time. I got one today. I'll be answering the Ozone tomorrow about
shameless plug.
Yeah, Bjorn Werner. Why don't they go after him? Well, they don't want to just take flyers on guys. You want to take guys that you've scouted, you've watched on film, and that you believe can actually help you.
Yeah.
And just because the guy's a familiar name doesn't mean they believe that they can actually help them. So there are guys in-house, Ryan Davis, Dante Fowler Jr., who can play that edge rusher position, and the other guys they bring in, they would want to be improvement on what else is already here.
That leads us in to our next call, John at the Beaches, to discuss Dante Fowler Jr. What's up, John?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. I hadn't really heard anything else about him, you know, recently anyway. Just wanted to know what's going on with him, how his progression is coming. Is he, you know, in a brace? What's going on with him? How's he looking? Is he running on it? What's going on with him?
Appreciate the call. Thanks. Last we heard, everything's going great. He's on track, in good shape. Dave likes the way he looks, and you know, you see him trotting around occasionally in the hallways.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I don't know exactly what he's running with on his knee because I haven't seen him run. It's not something we observe. But everything you've heard this offseason is that in the last 2 or 3 months especially, and I think I'm getting that timeline right, that he has really begun to come on and run better, look better. You haven't heard anything that the progress is not where they believe it'll be. Now, they'll certainly be cautious with him as he comes back. Certainly in minicamp, OTAs, April, May, June, you're not going to do anything foolish with Dante Fowler Jr. But when you see him, he looks in terrific shape. Everything that Dave Caldwell has said is that he is running well, and the times that he's had his eyes on Dante Fowler Jr. moving around, working out, they are very optimistic that he's where they want him to be and that he will be the player they expect him to be. So no, it's not something that you're going to see a whole lot of standalone news stories about right now, because it's just not going to be enough. There's not going to be a breakthrough moment in the news, but whenever they talk about it, it's very positive, and that he's doing fine. He's doing well.
Why don't they give you access to the workhouse, John? Why don't you just peek through the fence?
Well, I'm usually there. That's,
don't they know
I
you're the Ozone?
I can't talk that much about it. Yeah, I'm the Ozone, yeah. So yeah.
I mean, it's obvious.
Dante usually swings by and gives me a little update afterwards.
Oh, really? That's nice of him, you know?
It is nice.
You guys
we're close
are tight
like that.
Like
so.
That yeah.
But, I mean, it's not something where they're going to have a video and post it on YouTube this time of year to publicize that kind of thing. It's
yeah,
not
no
a,
need, really. You
know? Yeah, it's not a show like that. But in the times that Dave has spoken publicly about it, it has all been progressing in the same forward positive direction.
Got a tweet, Cobalt Blue 22, too much emphasis on edge rusher. Why not create interior pressure with new schemes? Think Kiffin, he says. Yeah, well, that's the whole point, right? They're going to get pressure
what they're
from
doing.
The middle. That's
yeah,
what's
I mean,
going on.
Dave has said, Dave's stance, Dave Caldwell's stance right now is that you can create pressure with two or three really good interior rushers.
You got some.
And one good edge rusher.
Yeah.
That's been done. It's not – life is not always Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware or Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis.
It's nice if it is.
Right.
That's very rare.
But his point is there are certainly teams out there with fewer potential elite impact players on the defensive line the Jaguars have right now. And by that he means Malik Jackson, Zenerick Marks in the middle, and Dante Fowler off the edge. He likes that as three guys who can beat one-on-one, who can pressure, and who can force offenses to change what they're doing because those guys are on the field. So they do have those three, and they weren't there in Week 17 last year.
Guess what? We're going to come back, John, and discuss your favorite, the interior offensive line, including center for the
Jags.
Awesome. I know you're excited about it. I can tell by your face.
Right, I am.
Now. You are. That's it.
Yeah, I am.
A man of many words today.
That's all there is to say.
Plenty to get to on Jaguars Thursday. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Also, NFL.com, 8 under-the-radar free agent signings, and a Jaguar is among them. That's after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier is in for Jeff Lagerman and Tony Baselli tonight. Well done, John.
Thank you.
And special guest has jumped in the studio with us, Dave Caldwell, Jags GM. What's up, Dave?
How you guys doing?
Great.
Thanks for kidnapping me as I was walking down the hall.
That's what we do. That's how we
he
get
ran.
In here, right?
He ran,
but not fast enough.
It wasn't pretty.
The only
there,
reason so. I came in here is because no Lagerman and Baselli, so.
That's fair.
That's a good reason to be here. Busy time, obviously. You got a bunch of guys in, meetings going on right now. You're a month out. What's the status?
Yeah, we started our heavy draft meetings on Monday with our coaching staff and our scouting department, a good portion of our scouting department. Some of them are still on the road, but our guys that cover across the country and our directors and guys like that are in town and going through each guy in each position.
Now, is that, and we got a question on this earlier in the week somewhere, the evaluation for the most part is done. The meetings you're talking about are ranking guys and ordering
guys, we're just
correct?
Splitting hairs. We got some kind of clumps of guys and getting the coaches input. You know, the coaches didn't start on their guys until, you know, right around the combine,
right,
a little bit before the combine. So we're getting their video evaluations as well as kind of their interview information that they got from guys at the combine. So we're inputting all that information and trying to maneuver the board. You know, where the coaches like guys, where our scouts like guys, and trying to find marriages there. And then, you know, coming up, we got a lot more information with some visits and some private workouts.
It's almost like a true roundtable kind of process, right? You got guys, everybody's in one big room kind of going through this?
Yeah. For us it is. And this is kind of something we've done the last 3 years is we get the position coach and the coordinator at each side of the ball as well, Coach Bradley and whoever else has evaluated the guys and kind of watch a little bit of video and have the coaches tell us what they're seeing and try to marry it up with what our scouts and personnel people are seeing.
Do you have a date where you say, I'm setting the board by this and then it's over?
Usually by the Friday before the draft.
Okay.
You know, the Friday beforehand. Probably won't do much tweaking, especially in the first five or six rounds.
Right.
Maybe some late round guys will tweak a little bit, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you
right.
know, that week leading up to the draft.
But you try sort of not to do that too much, right?
Yeah, try to put it, you know, once you come to a conclusion. And what I found about myself is I just found this out a couple of weeks ago, is I'll go back and forth, and then usually when I make my mind up, I will kind of stick to it.
You just found this out a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Took you this long.
Yeah, but yeah, I had somebody to have to tell me that after I did a questionnaire on leadership survey.
Now, I get this question all the time. Do you, in your mind, when you go into it, do you have a Dave Caldwell board that's 1 through 10, or is it scenarios sort of force you in different directions that you follow? Like, is it clear, I like this guy 1, this guy 2?
Well, it's by position. Okay. So you generally, we'll rank them by position first, and then we'll see, you know, who's a better player at their position, and then try to fit those with our needs. And if they're all equal, we'll go with the need. If they're not equal, we'll go with the best player available.
So you, and again, there's always best available player talk. You always believe that need comes into it realistically a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think anybody's pegging us to take a quarterback in the, or a wide receiver with the fifth pick this year. So, you know, we do have plenty of needs, and so we'll have some flexibility there in the first pick.
Dave Caldwell with us, Jaguars general manager on Jaguars Thursday. Nice enough to stop in and join us. Do you have a feel for everything above you? Do you don't look at headlines this time of year, right? You can't trust a headline.
No,
this
I think
time of year.
Chris Driggers are
only Jaguars.com.
That's fair.
Chris Driggers, our pro scout, said you should really lock yourself into a closet and turn off all media and the month leading to the draft, because there'll surely be somebody that flies up the board that shouldn't, and there'll be surely somebody that falls down the board that shouldn't, and you just gotta stick with what your guys have done in the scouting department and the coaching staff, and trust your process. Mm-hmm.
If you want to tell us, you can, but I know you won't. But in your mind, do you have a guy or two that you really hope fall? Is it that easy? That's how fans look at it.
No.
But, or do you just have some scenarios?
Well, when
you're
picking
like
in the top five, there's definitely 5 good players in this draft that you feel good about. So I think we'll be happy with whoever is at our spot. And then if there's an opportunity to maybe trade back, we'll look at that too. There's more than 5 players, so we just have to make sure, regardless of who gets picked where, that we picked the right player for the Jaguars.
Now, you didn't mention going up. Is that a possibility, or is that less of a possibility than
it's always a possibility if it wasn't too costly and there was somebody that we really coveted.
But you really like picks. I mean, you believe that your percentages go up the more you've got. You don't like giving a big equity for a guy.
No, and our scouts do a really good job, so we feel like that we have an advantage there where we can find, you know, some good talent in the late rounds, and they have done that in the last couple of years.
Have you gotten, and I'm sorry, JP.
No, go ahead, John.
Have you gotten to the, like, this month coming up? I assume your first year, there was a little bit of inexperience there. I mean, you knew what you were doing, but it was your first time through. Do you look forward to this month now, just from having 2 or 3 years doing it, that you know where the pitfalls, the things you got to watch for, anything like that?
I really look forward to the month of May.
Okay. That's fair. I do too. Where are we going?
I think we all. Yeah. Dave Caldwell with us, Jaguars general manager on Jaguars Thursday. How's Dante doing?
He's doing good. He's doing good. He's. I think he told me today he was 254, and so it's somewhere around there.
Is that?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, I think keeping him lean while he's rehabbing and getting his knee.
What was he at Florida his last year?
He was, I think, close to 260. Yeah, showed up bigger at the combine in the 260s, high 260s. Not sure where we have him scheduled to, what weight we're going to have him at come the season. Milo and our strength and conditioning coach, they do a good job with that. But they'll see where he's at once he's cleared and healthy, and then see how much weight we want to put on him in this first year. But, you know, it's something that'll be probably more gradual as he gets older.
It's hard to figure that out, though. I hadn't been on the field yet for you guys, right?
Yeah, for an hour and a half.
Right. That's really it. Yeah. Other guys, Sinderick, how's his rehab?
Seems like he's doing really well, you know, rehabbing hard and doing all the right things. So feel good about him coming in, and I think he anticipates on having a big year, and hopefully he's right, and hopefully we get a lot of production like we did 2 years out of him.
Ahead, final question for me, because I know you want to get out of here. Your philosophy on pro days, when you were looking for a quarterback a couple years ago, went to 2 or 3 or 4 of them. For the most part, though, not so much. Is it just you've seen what you need to see on film, I assume.
Yeah, between the film and the combine, and you know, once we've seen it at the combine, we had the video of it, and then you have the video of the pro days. Not only do you have the video of these days, but you can turn on NFL Network and feel like you're there and watch it.
Right.
And, so you get a good enough feel, and we have, although I may not be there,
right,
we have representation from our team there, and I trust the guys that go to those pro days to let us know if there's any issues or right, anything that was out of the ordinary, which is really all you're looking for. And but if there's only so much you can see of a player. If you see him, you know, a couple years on video, and then you see him at an All-Star game, you see him at a combine, you're like, well, I don't know what, you know,
right,
time probably better served than here with meeting with our coaches and our personnel staff.
So the reason to go, I guess, for the quarterbacks, just to see him in such a pressurized environment, get that whole feel.
Yeah, and when we did it too, for our coaches to see him too, you know, I was fortunate to be able to see those guys, you know, practice and play live games throughout the year, where our coaches really didn't get to see him throw and do that stuff and get to meet him. And obviously, you can probably tell a little bit more in a workout the more you see those guys,
right,
than just one live exposure.
Right. Dave, we appreciate you coming out of the room for a few minutes. Go lock yourself back in the room. And
actually, I'm going to go home.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, I'm
there's
I'm
no
done
meetings tonight.
Not tonight. 7 o'clock. We'll
call it a night.
Call it a night.
Pace
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fair long month ahead.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
Dave
it.
Caldwell, Jags GM, joining us on Jaguars Thursday. Get the latest transportation news and info on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on Channel 25. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. Jaguars Thursday, thousands, in fact, in savings. Jaguars Thursday continues, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, John Osier from Jaguars.com, senior writer, in place of Lagerman and Baselli. Now, Baselli earlier tweeted
I don't
care. Said, you don't care. No, you're done with it.
Yeah, I'm done. No.
He earlier tweeted from the cruise ship, apparently.
Of course.
They have some kind of, I don't know, in the middle of an ocean, how you have cell phone service. But said he'd be listening tonight. But I doubt it highly.
Oh, that, great. So, good for him.
There you go.
All right.
So, great.
Well, if he was listening, he heard Dave Caldwell join us. And
that was awesome.
I've said many times, you know, since Dave and Gus got here, but in this instance, Dave, for a general manager a month out from the draft, I get that there's some time before the draft, but very busy time. There's Super Bowl coming up. For him to take 10 or 15 minutes before he goes home, not every GM would do that. So,
no, I don't think many would do that.
No, and, you know, his money has always been where his mouth was in terms of being accessible and doing everything to help the fans understand what's going on with this team. So, you know, once again, thanks and credit to him.
Let's get to one final phone call tonight. Scott in Pontevedra holding on the line. What's up, Scott?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. I was calling to ask about the center position. Mm. I like what the Jaguars did in the draft, but I would have bet John Osher's paycheck that they would have gone after Alex Mack. And so I'd like your comments on that. And then,
well, fortunately for you, you wouldn't have been gambling much.
Did he ever play center at Miami? And it seems like we have no center now, and going into training camp, we'll be juggling people all around. I'll take your comments on the radio. Thanks.
Appreciate it. The Alex Mack thing, they didn't really make a run at him because they felt like they were candidates internally, I believe.
Yeah,
to,
and you know,
to
he was 2 years older and didn't really feel like they were going to be particularly strengthening themselves by doing so. You know, they haven't made an announcement or issued a depth chart, but everything they're saying to me indicates that Brandon Leonard's going to start at center.
And the question is, does he have experience here? Well, he has some. He played a little at the U and has played, I think, in preseason here, you know.
He did it enough where they feel like he is potentially a really special talent inside. And their approach is, let's get our best interior offensive lineman at our most important interior offensive line position. And he certainly certainly did nothing in his time at center in the brief time he played in the preseason to think that he couldn't do it. So I don't think you're going to go into training camp or even OTAs with a rotating situation at center. That was the caller's concern.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it's going to be that. I think you're going to go into OTAs and training camp with 65 at center.
You've been writing a lot lately about that left tackle spot, too. Everybody has. I think that's the biggest topic on the offensive line, Beecham, Jokel, and it's, at least from what I've read of your writing, which I read all of your writing.
Lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me. Right. Is that it's going to be a combination of those five guys, right? Kelvin, Beecham, Jokel, Linder, Can, and Parnell, right?
Yeah, that's what it would – I think that's the best chance. Now, on the interior, if – I think it's going to be Beecham or Jokel at left tackle.
Yeah.
And I think there's a very, very good chance that whoever's not starting left tackle will start at one of the guards. I would think left, but one of the guards. And I think that'll either be Jokel or Beecham. Yeah. And there's a chance it could be Bowenko, Shatley, somebody along those lines.
Yeah.
But I tend to think it'll be Parnell, Can, Linder, and some combination of Jokel and Beecham. And when you do that, you're – have five starting NFL caliber players along your offensive front, and I think they feel good about that. Would something in the draft, if there's an interior guy in the draft who's just got so much value at a spot that it becomes a Linder Can situation third round, wow, we had this guy as a first rounder and here he is. Sure, that could happen.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that'll happen.
Let's look around the National Football League. The New York Times refusing to retract the NFL article regarding alleged flaws in concussion research and alleged ties to the tobacco industry. I think we're ready for this to go away, or what? What's
sure,
your
I mean,
opinion on all this?
I'm not. I mean, in terms of any ties, I have no idea because I don't know. I have no knowledge of any of it because it's not my story.
Right. I haven't. Haven't followed.
As far as New York Times not retracting, I would have been stunned had they retracted, because with New York Times, they wouldn't have run the story if they didn't believe the sources and information that they had. That doesn't mean it's right, but it doesn't mean the NFL is wrong. But I certainly would have been surprised had the New York Times said, oh, we were wrong. I mean, that's not going to be – I don't think they would have printed it had they thought that was the case.
A lot of strongly worded lawyer letters going back and forth, too.
J.J.
Watt reportedly played last year with a partially torn left and right abdominal, plus two of the three muscles that connect the pelvic bone to the left thigh bone. That's according to Tanya Yanguli, our good friend down in Houston on ESPN.
Yeah, some of those muscles I don't even have.
That's true. He might have a few more than us.
He's torn things that I don't have.
Colin Kaepernick remaining with the 49ers. The fully guaranteed salary for 16, $11.9 million. 4 p.m. today, deadline to be ready for April 1st. He could be traded, though, of course. Chip Kelly likes to trade some guys.
Well, and they're sort of in a situation where, again, from afar, it seems like they had little choice because they didn't really have another option right now. So you keep that, and then if you can trade, you can trade. But you keep that. He has some value, apparently, around the league right now. So they hold on to that value for now. I don't know if he'll start for them or not. I'm not a big Kaepernick fan. But with the quarterback situation, it's sort of a musical chairs point right now where there are so few spots and guys to fill it that evidently he still has some value and they still have it.
Tom Coughlin will not be with the Giants in any capacity. There were some thoughts of an emeritus type of role. Well, that was quashed during a radio interview in New York earlier this week.
Yeah, I don't pretend to know Tom as well now as I did for 5 or 6 years when I was covering him here.
What was the last year you covered him?
2000.
Okay.
I've seen him occasionally since, but Tom don't do emeritus. I mean, there's a drive inside the man. For him to come on as sort of an advisor and a, hey, Tom, every 5 days, what do you think? I don't doubt that he would have a lot to offer in that. I can't see that. From everything you get the vibe from listening to him, he doesn't think that he needs to be out of it that much. So it would have been surprising had that worked.
Miles Jack says the Chargers see him as a defensive back, a possible replacement for Eric Weddle. That's kind of a thing, right? Because everybody says, hey, he's covered wide receivers in college. It's a different animal, right, in the NFL.
Yeah, and again, sometimes when you think of Weddle, you have to think maybe a little – I mean –
Jack.
Jack, you have to think a little outside the box, because you would think, as a linebacker, you would think that if he was going to play some safety, it would automatically be strong safety, more of a physical hit. But he's so good in coverage that wouldn't necessarily be the case, but yet he does have the size to do it. So maybe he's that guy who could be so good. I may think, boy, if the Jaguars drafted him, would you try to put him at strong safety next to
Tashaun?
Yeah, sure. Gibson, yeah. And have two guys who could really – I don't think so, but, boy, you have a couple of good safeties.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
So, but – and that's the thing about him. Greg Cosell on our show yesterday
made a good point. On Jaguars.com
Live. Jaguars.com
Live
made a good point that at some point with these guys, these hybrid guys, you're not going to play jacket a running back, corner, outside linebacker, and say – you have to pick a spot for him. So you have to figure out what you want him to be. And I kind of agree with Greg that I'm not so sure that the versatility thing is really that much of a strength, especially for the first couple of years of a guy, because I don't think you're going to play – if you draft Jalen Ramsey, you're not going to play him at corner, then move him to safety, then move – you're not going to move him around that much. So where does he fit is a big question.
Tony Romo says he's ready for OTAs in the full offseason program, surgery repairing that left collarbone area.
I'm happy for
him. What do you think? Are you?
Good for him if he's ready.
Does it make a difference in Dallas?
Yeah.
I guess it does, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's there. He's the guy, and you saw what they weren't. And you saw what they weren't without him.
Yeah.
He's an elite, you know, one of seven or eight guys who truly changed the franchise when he's not playing quarterback for him.
So there's your look around the National Football League. Again, tomorrow, Commissioner Goodell scheduled to be in Jacksonville. Not sure of much around that, but
right.
He's here to, on behalf of the league, receive
We don't know much,
award.
But we know he's going to be here.
He's going to be here. So keep an eye out for that tomorrow. Who you got in the Final Four, Johnny? That's coming up, right?
You're
a basketball guy, right?
Not as much as I used to be. There was a time in my life where I was a big, big, big Carolina Tar Heels fan.
Mm-hmm.
A good friend of mine in high school, Melissa McLean, her dad, some people around town may know, Judge McLean, who passed in the early 2000s, was a huge Carolina fan and kind of got me into it. I followed them for a long, long time. So my heart's kind of with Carolina when they play, but I can't say that I'm into them as much as I was. I mean, there was a time for about 15 years where I lived and died them in the tournament. Now I'm pulling for them, but not overly passionately.
You don't have a bracket going?
Are you pulling for the Tar Heels? I think they'll win. They look like they have the ability to go score when they need to score.
Yeah.
And they can do it inside, which is rare in the college game these days. So I would think if they played this Final Four out 10 times, they'd probably win at 7, but it doesn't always work that way.
Aaron Colvin was talking trash to me the other day about OU.
Of course he was.
Shocking, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but, well, he also talked trash during football season at some point.
That
it didn't quite
didn't
work
really
out.
Work out for them, did it?
Yeah, last time they were in the Final Four in a sport didn't matter that much, did it?
So,
who'd they lose to? Tied,
that's a
right?
Good question. Yay!
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah,
I see what you guys got going.
Yeah, it's a thing.
No, OU, I mean, that kid can play. He can play.
Next week on Jaguars.com, we understand Blake Bortles will be on Jaguars.com Live on Wednesday.
That's
so we'll
look
forward
too.
To that.
And now we've put it out there, so we're putting a little pressure.
That's right.
A little fire under his feet.
We know he's listening. So.
Yeah. I'm sure he is.
That's right. So look for that.
How old is he, 23, 24? I would hope he's got better things to do than listen to Jaguars.com Live.
Come
on
now. So. Yeah. Jaguars Thursday, man. Come
Jaguars
on,
Thursday.
You forget the show you're on.
Yeah.
So that's coming up Wednesday. Jaguars.com Live, 12:30. Check it out each and every Wednesday on the website. John, well done, by the way, tonight.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's good to see you in here. I feel like I said earlier, I don't see you enough, though I see you every day.
Well, many people feel that way. Actually, that's not true. Nobody feels that
really
way.
True at all.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Have a good weekend, Johnny, and that'll do it for our show tonight, Jaguars Thursday. Our thanks to Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager, who jumped in with us in the second half hour tonight. Really cool to see the Jags GM join us.
Very nice of him. We appreciate it.
A month out from the draft. For John Osier, Joe Fortunato, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.